You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Transitioning homeless folks from the street into permanent housing, well, that's difficult. California has poured money into a program trying to do just that. It's called the Encampment Resolution Fund, but problems remain. JPR's Jane Vaughn spoke with KALW reporting fellow Alastair Boone about her coverage of this issue.
So your reporting focuses on how difficult it is for homeless folks to get off the street permanently. You say California has spent about $27 billion since 2019 trying to get people off the street. And your story focuses on the state's Encampment Resolution Fund, or ERF fund. So first, can you tell me what those ERF funds are and how that program works?
So the Encampment Resolution Fund is an initiative that Gavin Newsom founded, and the goal is to get, it's to focus specifically on unsheltered homeless people and helping them move off the streets and into housing. And that can take a long time, but the idea is to sort of try to fast track that process. And in order to do that, they have spent $700 million since the beginning of the program in grants to counties or cities or continuums of care that write into the state, and they say, we have this specific encampment, we want to close the encampment, and we need funding in order to open up resources to help the people in the encampment make meaningful progress toward finding permanent housing.
So you said California has spent about $700 million trying to get homeless folks into permanent housing. Has that program been successful?
It depends on how you look at it. And the folks who work in the state on the ERF program will say that it's a difficult population to reach. And so when you talk about all the money that California has spent on homelessness, not all of that is necessarily targeted for folks who are unsheltered living on the streets. The Encampment Resolution Fund is. It's supposed to kind of reach the most hard to reach people and move those folks from encampment settings into housing. In terms of whether or not it's been successful, when you look at the numbers of how many people have been reached by the Encampment Resolution Fund, a little bit less than 10% of those people have actually made the transition from unsheltered homelessness into stable permanent housing.
Yeah, that seems not super high. And your story describes some of the problems within the ERF program itself as homeless folks are trying to transition into permanent long-term housing. Tell me about some of those problems.
I think in order to explain why it's so hard for people to move through these programs and into permanent housing, I want to just explain a little bit about how they work. So the Encampment Resolution Fund might give a grant to the city that you're living in to specifically close, if you're the unhoused person, to close the encampment you're living in. They do that in conjunction with opening up, oftentimes, shelters or transitional housing programs. And the way that I kind of expected that that worked, and that I think a lot of the recipients of these programs expect that it's going to work, is you move in, they say they have wraparound services, so that means case management and crucially housing navigators to kind of help you make progress on getting healthcare, on getting maybe disability or other resources that you might qualify for and need, and finding housing. What I learned in my reporting is that that link is often broken, and that can be for any number of reasons. It can be because the county you're living in just really doesn't have enough supportive programs. So you might qualify for a voucher, but the list for that voucher is 10 years long. You might qualify for permanent supportive housing, but the majority of the units in your area are full. And so you might have a really supportive housing navigator, but they just can't find a resource for you to move into. It also can be the case that you don't have a really supportive housing navigator. And I think that in setting up these transitional housing programs is really difficult. It requires a high level of expertise on the part of the direct support roles. And often those jobs are underpaid and don't have stable funding. In the meantime, it's a hard job, and the research shows that a lot of people just burn out and leave. So because of those challenges, something I learned also in my reporting for the story is that many of the folks who are moving through these transitional housing programs or shelters, they are looking for their own housing on the private rental market. And in California, the private rental market is impacted almost everywhere. Anyone who has ever been a renter here, I believe, knows what it feels like to be hunting for housing and just really having a hard time finding something that you can afford. And imagine doing that with 10 years of homelessness, under your belt, that you're exiting this very challenging period of your life. You might be learning how to hold a steady job for the first time. You're dealing with really harsh negative bias on the part of landlords. People are just kind of fighting through those things on their own.
Yeah, it's a really complicated situation. There's a lot of problems, some maybe inside the program itself, and definitely some externally, or there's really just not enough housing, period. And like you said, there's sometimes bias against homeless folks trying to get housing. You had a quote in your story about a landlord who used to follow people around and spray them with Lysol because they smelled bad. So that can definitely be a difficulty as well. And you talked in your reporting to some women who are living in transitional housing and they're really trying to get into permanent housing. What did they tell you about their experiences?
So my story follows two women in Richmond, California, Angelina Pena and Marcela Hidalgo. Their encampments were closed during different rounds of encampment resolution funding. They found themselves together in this transitional housing program. And when I met them, they were feeling really frustrated by their experience in the program because they said that they just really hadn't received any of the support that they felt was advertised when they moved in. And specifically, they didn't receive enough support, they felt, when it came to the housing navigation. They just described a lot of staff turnover when it came to the housing navigators. And in my reporting, that really bared out. I talked to some of the service providers who had worked providing services in this program, and they described quite a bit of turnover in terms of the management of the program. And so, over a little over 2 years, there were five different nonprofits that were managing this one transitional housing program. That meant that there were five new teams of staff coming in and kind of getting reacquainted with the residents. And Angie and Marcella just felt like they really fell through the cracks and that they weren't getting what they thought they would get. When we met, they were already looking for housing online, like on Craigslist, on Facebook, places like that.
They're just doing it themselves to try to find something where they can move out. So, in your reporting, what possible solutions did you come across, if any, to potentially make this process of finding and moving into permanent housing any easier for these homeless folks?
I think we've got to find a way to make the experience of moving through these programs more seamless for the residents. And I think we need to make it a little bit easier for them to figure out how to access the help that these programs are funded to offer, and in many cases do offer, but just don't offer in an accessible way. So that might mean making those higher paying jobs for the people that work there, making it a better work environment for the staff so that they have the stability and the tools that they need to help people. I think the other thing, and maybe the more important thing or the bigger thing, is just making sure that there are places for these folks to exit to. So you see people who are working their way, like fighting their way through this pipeline. They're on the streets, they get into this program, and then they kind of plateau. It's like you're in this program, it's supposed to transition you into permanent housing, and there just aren't enough permanent housing units for you to move into. One of the people I interviewed for this story, Ryan Finnegan, who's done a ton of great research with UC Berkeley's Turner Center on homelessness and shelter providers, he described a real need for balance in terms of our state's investments in each of these programs. You need transitional housing programs to get people ready to move into permanent housing, but you have to make sure that they have somewhere to go. If you invest too much in the transitional housing, you end up with folks who exit back into homelessness. If you invest just in the permanent housing, you might not have enough support on the ground getting people ready to move into those programs. And so it's about balancing our investments as a state and making sure that there's enough at each stage.
Well, Alistair, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I also spoke with Jimmy Derschlag and Patty Ray from SoHum Housing Opportunities in Humboldt County. The homeless services nonprofit received $3.5 million in ERF funds. Jimmy started off by describing the group's grant proposal.
We had to identify the encampments and then have a proposal for how we would interact with them, provide them services. The way we proposed it in this grant was to create an interim safe camp village with interim housing and other services such as bathrooms, laundry, food, and create that interim camp. But also we put in the grant a fairly large fund, almost a third of the grant, into rental support for permanent housing. Those are the main components of the grant, is getting people, identifying the people, getting them service, getting them case management, seeing what their needs are, and putting them into some kind of an interim transitional situation, or if they're in a position to do it, to get them identify rentals where they can be moved directly into permanent housing. So we've been doing both of those. The main thing change that's happened is it's taken us quite a while, once we were funded, to get this camp up and running. So in order to provide the services, which are so critical, if we actually shifted a little bit to putting some of the funds we had in our rental fund into getting a memorandum of understanding with a local motel. So right now we have 22 people that are in the interim housing in the local motel. So it's basically a three-year program, and we're kind of in the middle of it. Even though that camp, which was the initial plan, is not yet fully operational. And we are working with the county, we're doing planning, we're going to be putting it out to bid. But in the meantime, we are providing this direct services through the interim housing and local hotel.
So it sounds like you said there's been some sort of modifications and changes to the plan and what you originally thought the project was going to be. And so how has that process been going so far?
It's learning how to live in housing. And the people, I think it's like 8 people we have in housing total, we're seeing where the challenges are. Some of them are doing pretty okay, but, you know, they've been used to being in a camp. And so that's a challenge, you know, as far as preparing them, because they have a tendency to hoard. They have a tendency, you know, not to clean up trash. So we're working with them. They really like being out in the woods. And so it's been an adjustment for them.
So you were mentioning that you're about halfway through the grant program currently. You've got 22 people in a hotel. You've gotten 8 people into permanent housing. What challenges have you experienced in trying to get people into that permanent housing, in addition to people not being used to living indoors? Are there problems with lack of housing in the area or lack of affordable housing in the area? Because, you know, clock is ticking. You're trying to get people into permanent homes, but I imagine there's some difficulties too.
Oh, yes, there are quite a few difficulties. There are rentals that are available. It's not that out of the ballpark as far as the cost of rentals, and there are some available. I think the main issue right now is finding people that we feel are really ready to move into permanent housing without some kind of a stepping stone. The motel rooms that we have available are all full right now. So we've been able to move people into interim housing. And I think that's having the support, having the case management, having those that are ready for that to help them transition is a key issue. But, you know, when we move them directly in, you know, it's been hard for them, even with them reading the lease, understanding the limitations, talking them through it, having them say, yeah, we understand. It's still been difficult for them to break some of the habits that, well, it's been a part of their lives that make it difficult for them, for the landlords, to be in permanent housing.
And what do you think would help make it easier for homeless folks to move into permanent housing? Is it more grant funds like this? Like, do you think this is working, or are there other solutions that you see that would help make it easier to get homeless folks from living outside to permanent long-term housing?
Well, that's a good question. But I think the more support and just understanding that you can give them, the better. And the other thing is awareness in the community. I think the more interactions people have with the homeless and people who have been challenged, the more they realize that they're just folks like them. And when they see them being able to be successful in this kind of interim or transition to permanent housing, I think that's real helpful.
For sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having us.
That was JPR's Jane Vaughn speaking with KALW reporting fellow Alastair Boone and Jimmy Derschlag and Patty Ray from Soham Housing Opportunities.